I got nothing.
Neither do I. Welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires we call the internets is Joe Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe? Hello?
Yeah, I hear ya. Jeez, I just...
Just came out of the crapper. And if you're expecting a flush sound effect, forget it. I ain't flushed no friggin' toilet before. I ain't about to start now.
Well, you gotta remember, if it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down.
And I don't care what you say. I have never heard of Lobo brand tuna.
How about Lobo brand toilet paper?
Time to ask the Strode.
Uh-oh! Already! We're gonna
start out with a bang.
Yes, I do have mad toilet paper.
Oh, okay. Well, then question number two.
Okay.
Who is Qantas?
A koala bear?
Pretty close. The koala who walks like a man. And what was his first appearance?
That was in E-Man, wasn't it?
No, it was actually, I believe, in one of the ambush bugs.
Oh, it was Ambush Bug. Okay. There was a koala bear in E-Man, too. I wonder what his name was.
Well, it wasn't Blotto, because he would have been in the second issue.
I feel like I should get Blotto.
Yeah.
Wait, huh? What? So that's how you are.
That's how I am. I'm clean as a whistle, inside and out.
Oh, good. Have you been eating your bran?
Of course. Which bran do you want me to eat?
I have found the greatest breakfast cereal in the history of mankind that is not one of the monster cereals.
Uh-oh. Well, it can't be Kaboom, because I haven't seen that in ages.
No, it's a brand new cereal. They've combined two cereals, Joe.
Those bastards. What will they think of next?
Frosted Flakes and Lucky Charms are now combined.
I'm telling you, these crossovers are getting out of hand.
I tell you what, man. You eat a bowl of that, and you got enough sugar for the month.
Woohoo!
Now all they need to do is add marshmallows to Golden Grahams. Wait, they already have. They're called s'mores.
Dude, we can't be giving away these million-dollar ideas. I mean, we already gave away Conan going back to Marvel. There's been, you know, countless suggestions we've given of storylines.
By the way, you asked me over the weekend about Counter-Earth.
Yes, I did. I was, you know, and what was happening is I was sitting at work, and we had one day that was super busy. And, of course, by the time this here podcast drops... Super Bowl will be over because we're all gearing up for that. I mean, we've got helicopters flying over the city, checking out radiation levels, or police dogs on the light rail, and we've got everything all ramped up and nice and pretty. You can hear the announcements at the airport. Hi, I'm such and such from a past Super Bowl team, and thank you for coming to Minnesota. You can't go a single corner without somebody selling Super Bowl merchandise, illegal or otherwise. And in the midst of all this chaos, suddenly we had a downtime. And what's the first question that came to my mind? Well, yeah, what the hell am I doing here? But second of all was, whatever happened to Counter-Earth?
And this is how I know that Joe is behind.
Way behind. I'm willing to make a deal.
I let people know about, I'd say a year ago, that The Ultimates is a really cool series set in the Marvel Universe Prime now. That's what it's called now, I believe. It's called the Prime Universe, no longer 616. It's the Prime Universe. And it's about all the big cosmic stuff going on, like Galactus no longer being the Devourer, he's now the Lifebringer. And how order and chaos are fighting to take over and kill eternity and all that. Well, one of the big plot lines in the last few issues was about the High Evolutionary and Counter-Earth. What are you doing?
Me? I'm sniffing. Why?
What are you sniffing?
You will get to that in Freaking.
Do you have some sort of horrible, horrible comic book wine you're drinking?
No, actually, I have a stuffed sinuses.
Ah.
Which makes it extremely hard to breathe. And now that my earphones are on, hard to coordinate what the hell's going on.
Oh, okay.
But we'll get to that when we get to
Freaking. You know, the cool thing is maybe your equilibrium will go bad.
No, I duct tape myself to the chair. Of course, I'm not wearing pants, so it's going to be very tough getting it off. But, you know, hey, that's my problem, not yours.
Although it could be entertaining when you tear that tape off.
It could be. Maybe I'll set up a recorder.
Yeah, it's like being waxed. There you go. There's a special episode we could do. We're looking for an April Fool's episode. It could be Joe goes and gets waxed.
Yeah! Just use your Fred Flintstone yell.
I know someone who waxes people for a living, so if we want to do that, we're looking for ideas. But the Ultimates, Marvel Unlimited, they've got the next-to-last issue, and it's all about Counter-Earth, and how Galactus, still not a big fan of the High Evolutionary, still doesn't much care for him.
Yeah, it's like he's a bad cook, and you just keep going back to his restaurant. Listen, I know Counter-Earths are bad for me, but damn it all, I'm hungry.
The other thing is that the evil Reed Richards from the Ultimate Universe, who's now called the Maker, is over on Counter-Earth. And there's something about Counter-Earth and evil Reed Richards, because that's where the Brute came from, which was the evil Reed Richards in the first modern Fantastic Four story I read.
So what you're saying is the Council of Reeds had not been totally wiped out because they didn't wipe out the evil Reeds.
No, just this one evil Reed. Which I think the problem is he has to be Reed Richards. But the cool thing is when they made Reed Richards of the Ultimate Universe turn evil, the reason was because they were reading his origin and reading what had happened to him, said, this is the origin of a supervillain. And I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
So
I did like that verse when Doom is confronting, I guess we can call him now, Reed Bryant. And it was the Ultimate Reed, and I think Maximus, or Ultimate Reed's like, is he talking to me?
No,
he's definitely not talking to you.
That's how I feel 90% of the time in my life. Yeah. Is he talking to me?
Are you talking to me?
Well, you must be talking to me because there's nobody else here. So it's been really busy there at the airport for the Super Bowl.
Well, no, because again, we're talking. This is like the weekend before, so there may be a lot of people coming in, but going out, not necessarily. We're looking at going out, which by the time the next podcast hits, well, I'll probably talk about it two podcasts because we have a very special episode planned for the next podcast.
Yeah, Joe's got a birthday coming up, so he's bailing on us.
Oh, I actually was going to tell you, my wife apparently is like caucusing for some politicians, so I'll be there on my birthday. Do you see what dedication I have to this year podcast? Corey's birthday comes along, he disappears.
No, I didn't.
Vamooses, goes off the planet, goes off the grid. He's gone.
No, me, I didn't.
I tell Corey point blank, let's schedule a special birthday show. And Corey, what special thing are you going to have for my birthday?
Well, first, now I have to move it again because you said, oh, I can't record. That's my birthday. So it's like, oh, okay, we'll move it back to Monday, which is a day you can't record.
You're not listening. I said I can record on my birthday because my wife's not going to be home. Therefore, I will be there on my birthday.
Right now.
Would you just stop and rewind everything?
Now you say that, but the email you sent a few hours ago said that you can't.
Oh, and I'm sure you were so fast on emails that you sent out a reply saying, fine, let's go back on the Mondays.
Yes.
Considering you didn't even send anything for this week's show.
I don't have anything for this week's show.
I know. And, you know, he off scenes, you know, Corey, choose me a new one up and down. He says, you got to read the review books. You got to get be prepared. And so I'm monitoring the emails, waiting for the inevitable, you know, minutes before the podcast. OK, we're going to read the Encyclopedia Britannica of Marvel.
The cartoon history of the universe.
And
why haven't you read it yet?
Hasn't acted yet. The universe is still going on. But it doesn't matter. You know, Corey did get, you know, episode 339 up. But, you know, we didn't get anything else going.
I've been a little busy.
That's because, and, you know, I'll say it, you're stupid.
No.
You went back to work too soon, didn't you?
No, that's not why I was too busy.
You went back to work too soon. I watched you complaining about it on Facebook.
That was different. That's because I was coughing and hacking.
Shoot you out a new one. Yeah, we also had somebody come to work that had the same thing you did. And, of course, she spent all day in a confined area hacking and coughing. And so I'm expecting next week's episode to be, oh, Joe's out. He's got the flu.
Okay. No, there's another reason. It is because I'm stupid.
But yeah, I mean, that we've already established that. But what is the reason for being stupid?
Well, you know that I like me the PWInsider.com.
Oh well, yeah, that is the place to be if you are a pro wrestling fan.
Well, early in the week they said, well, we may need somebody to cover the Royal Rumble. Would you like to do it? And I was stupid and said yes. And then Mike Johnson, who normally covers it, was able to get tickets to the Royal Rumble. So he said, Corey, I'm tagging you in. Now, I have covered a few things for them. I've covered some Ring of Honor. I've covered some Impact Wrestling. And what you do is, okay, here's the match. Then you write up what happened in the match and who won. Seems pretty simple, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, first off,
you're trying to do it live because, the first key was Royal Rumble. Now, the Royal Rumble, is it still the format? Everybody can
yes.
do person comes in every minute or so?
90 seconds.
Oh, 90 seconds. Okay. But I know a regular Royal Rumble would be impossible because everybody's in there to begin with, and bodies just go flying.
First off, the pre-show started at 4 in the afternoon.
That's about the same time I sent you the Counter-Earth question, wasn't it?
It was before that. I was still at the group home. But, yeah, their first match started at 4:30. They still were just starting to let people into the arena, so that doesn't make any sense to me. So I covered the entire pre-show, and doing that is like, oh, okay, I'm only about 5-6 minutes behind. Then they start with the Rumble. First couple matches, fine. I'm able to cover those pretty easy. Then the Men's Rumble. Now, with the Men's Rumble, you have to say who the entrant is, and then what happened, and then if anybody gets eliminated, you put that, and then up, here's the next entrant, and the next entrant is 90 seconds later. And that happens 30 times.
Yeah. And
so
of course,
I'm also furiously trying to keep
sometimes,
up.
Sometimes, you know, you'll have guys get eliminated as they come in, so it can make it easy. Other times, there'll be a whole ton of people. Like, even sometimes the announcers get lost. Hey, did such and such get eliminated?
Yes. And in the women, then, you know, they had another couple of matches, and then the Women's Rumble. So you're doing the same thing again. So by the end of the Men's Rumble, I'm probably about 15 to 20 minutes behind, frantically trying to keep up. And it's not like they slow down and go, oh, it's Drew Gulak coming into the ring. No, it's, oh, Drew Gulak's coming into the ring. Oh, look, this person got eliminated. Oh, so the next two matches I get through, and then the Women's Rumble, and they pulled this crap at the Women's Rumble, which made it more interesting, but made me insane. People would get knocked outside, but not over the top rope. They wouldn't be in the ring for like 5 minutes, and you'd go, oh, when did they get eliminated? And you're scrolling through trying to see, and then you stop, and then they show up in the ring. It's like, oh, crap, they weren't eliminated. I have to go back and erase that they were eliminated, and just on and on and on and on and on. I think by the end of the night, I had been furiously typing and sending stuff to Dave Shearer to update for 7 hours. I tell you, I am not doing WrestleMania. Because WrestleMania itself is like 5 or 6 hours. The pre-show's at least 2 hours and probably longer. Ugh.
Well, you'll probably end up going across town to give somebody a ride home after Butch and I, you know, make our way over to your house anyway. So, no, yeah, no, you definitely will not be watching WrestleMania.
No, that person's not around anymore. I don't know what happened to him. I never hear anything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you clean one person's house and bam, gone for life.
I know. Wait a minute. That's how I can get rid of people who annoy me.
Uh-huh.
But, no, the Royal Rumble was a hell of a show. The Women's Rumble was great. A lot of people from the past showed up. Lita showed up, looked phenomenal in the ring. Trish Stratus showed up, still has her moves, looked phenomenal in the ring. Tori Wilson, Molly Holly, Kelly Kelly showed up.
Ooh.
And all I could think is, Kelly Kelly? Really? She was terrible.
Yeah, but she looked good.
Yeah, but she was terrible.
Not matter, she looked
and
good.
She was in the ring for like 15 minutes. So why are they giving Kelly Kelly 15 minutes in the ring? Why are they spotlighting her? It was one of those things. I got done typing everything at like 10:45. And I emailed Dave with the last one and I said, here, all done. Mike Johnson owes me. I don't know what. But he owes me. And my brain was pudding. Because I was on my laptop, and at one point, you know, the laptop doesn't have an insert key, and I had hit a button so that it was no longer inserting. So if I would go back, it was typing over stuff. It's like, oh, crap. Now I'm losing what I type. And when I had one program freeze up during the pre-show, so I had to reboot the computer. I'm smart, and I save everything every couple of minutes, so I only lost, like, 2 minutes of typing, but I lost 5 minutes in watching the damn show. But a lot of fun. Got good reviews. People who read it liked it.
Did you read it? I have not. No, I'm actually going to watch it tomorrow, so I figure I'll read about it afterwards.
Really good show, and I read some comics over the weekend, Joe. Read a few.
Cool. I did not read any comics. Although I did read a hell of a lot of graphic novels. I read a hell of a lot of graphic novels.
Oh, I read Richie Rich and Jackie Joker's number 9.
Number 9?
Yeah.
Number 9.
One of the things that I had not read a Richie Rich comic in a long, long time, other than, you know, the trade paperback that Dark Horse put out a few years ago. And of course, that they're putting out the best stuff. This was just kind of a random issue from 1974, so it was probably one I read as a kid. And one of the things that I realized as I'm reading it is, these really aren't quite stories. Because in the first story, stuff just kind of happens, and then it's, oh, here's page 5, it's over. They set up a situation, but there's no real resolution other than, oh, and then the FBI show up and arrest the bad guys.
Gotcha.
And, you know, they had some one-page gags that were okay. The art was probably all by Ernie Kallon, who also worked at DC in the 80s. If you read Amethyst, Princess of Gemworld, he drew that. But it's weird how I could tell, oh, he drew this. Somebody else drew this. Somebody else drew the Wendy and Casper gag. I don't know who. Probably Werner Klemper, but... Okay, and I was able to start picking out the art styles. When I was a kid, it was just, ooh, cool. What else did I read? I got caught up on Archie. And if you haven't read Archie, they pretty much have kind of wiped the slate clean for a new story arc. And they're going to be telling a story about the Cheryl Blossom and her brother.
Ooh.
Ooh. And I did read the first three parts of the new Avengers story, and I liked it.
Is this the one that goes weekly?
Yes. And I can see why it went weekly. I will give you the opening, Joe.
All right.
Earth is no longer orbiting the sun.
Ooh, the Beyonder's back.
The Earth has been kidnapped, so all of the heroes in space are like, oh, crap. Meanwhile, everybody on Earth is kind of freaking out because, there's no satellites. So all the communication.
They have nowhere to go to the bathroom.
Well, and all the technology and everything no longer works. And the villains decide, hey, if they can't communicate, now's the perfect time. So we get a new Lethal Legion and a new Masters of Evil. And I like it. It does feel like a big story, which I like. It does feel like a crisis. They have inserted a character into the past. And I know people are freaking out about it, but just remember, you know, this is just the first part of a story. We've got 3 months to go. You never know, man. You never know.
You just don't know. So clear your jets.
Yep. I always say wait till the end of the story. And people didn't do that with the...
Look how stupid you were with Secret Empire. Everybody was bad. Oh, Captain America's a Nazi. I can't believe Kirby enjoyed that. Oh.
Well, now we have a new evil Captain America.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that story, but boy, there are a lot of people who are still pissy about it.
Yeah.
Joe, what kind of stuff were you reading while you were sitting at the airport?
Well, if I tell you now, I'll have nothing for geeking.
Well, should we just do an all freaking and geeking episode? Is that what you're wanting to do?
Well, not really. I don't have that much freaking.
Oh, okay. I don't even have a list.
I do, but it's small. Very small.
Small?
I already shot my Hester Strode question. You only get a nickel for it, though. Sorry.
Yeah, because I only got a half right.
Yeah, I've been, like I said, we're all geared up. Everybody's all super hyper on the Super Bowl and stuff, and you know, a lot of rumors flying around, so we're just waiting to see what happens. I signed up for overtime. Actually, I was kind of disappointed. I went to work, and I'm all ready to sign up for overtime, do my part. You know, there's always, you always get the one guy's, I don't work overtime. I'm never going to work overtime. I'm going to go. And so, really, seriously, there's an attack on the United States, and you're not going to come in for overtime if asked. I said, whatever. And they've got specific rules for overtime, and in this case, what they're doing, they're making a mandatory overtime. So anybody who is off Sunday, Monday, and or Tuesday, and as you know, I'm off Monday through Wednesday, had to come in and work one of the days. And I came in and I'm thinking, oh, okay, let's sign up. And I look at the list. There's absolutely nothing for overtime. And I'm like, you're kidding me. We got this major event less than a week away, and there's no overtime. Well, I should have caught my tits. Because the next day, mandatory overtime. And my supervisor was on the phone. He's, yes, jotting all this stuff down. And he kind of sighs. Goes, oh, I got to go run around and sign everybody up for mandatory overtime. He goes, well, I'll make the first one easy. Sign me up. And that way I can choose where I'm going to be and what hours rather than being told. Because what's weird at the airport, most airports are open 24/7. And Minneapolis is no exception, but because it's in the middle of the city, and I want you to realize the airport came first, but as the city grew around it, people started complaining about the airport noise.
Yes.
Oh, I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you. What just so happened, some of the places that were complaining are the rich suburbs. So they usually have their hours of operation limited, so they can't fly after, like the big jets, after 10 p.m., or before, I want to say a.m., but I've seen them go later and before. So, you know, if there's exceptions like the nuclear snowstorm we were recording with last week, you know, they'll be flying all the time. Well, in this case, Delta and Sun Country and all the other places added so many flights that they're going to be flying. The airport's going to be open 24/7. So they had to have people come in to man the 24-hour shifts. They made the morning shift come in like 4 hours early. They didn't say the afternoon shifts have to stay late. They might, but, you know, what do I care? I'm getting paid overtime. And you know, I need the money because, you know, right around the corner, MSP Comic-Con 2018, May 19th and May 20th, 2018 at the Minnesota Grandstand. And I'll tell you now, on their flyer says tickets on sale April 1st. They're on sale now.
What?
They have a preliminary guest list up now. If you want a table, the applications are online now. So the volunteers are up and running 100%. And so if you're going as a creator, if you're going as a dealer, or if you want to get them advanced tickets, you don't have to wait outside. MCBAComicCons.com, and just look around. You'll see what you're looking for. We're, of course, not Corey, but me and my daughters will be running the charity booth, and so we're looking to take any charitable donations you may have. Just get a hold of Corey, and he'll get you a hold of me, and we'll get you the tax form and all that other fun stuff. So that stuff's all fun. Matter of fact, today I was looking to just go out, and you know, every so often, I have a couple good eBay days, and I start getting that itch. You know, I want to go out and I just want to buy something. You know, it doesn't matter what. I just want to buy some. So I'm going to go hit the different comic shops. I'm going to go look around. And then I just kind of sighed to myself and I said, well, you know, come February 8th, and as we're recording this, it's January 29th. As you're listening to it, it's February 5th. But on the 8th, they might shut down the government again. So I may be needing all those eBay's money. So I was good. I just went home.
Oh, that's good.
It was. But I still got the urge to buy something, so I may go visit the source tomorrow. I don't know.
Well, you know,
I haven't seen if my box day is coming, though. I didn't see anything in my emails.
Box day is wrapping up this week, so it probably will be put in the mail next Monday. That's Ooh. The new thing they're doing now, which kind of annoys me, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because it used to be, oh, okay, last stuff, we get it on Tuesday. We put your box in the mail Wednesday or Thursday. Now it's last stuff comes in on Tuesday. Yeah, we get to it over the weekend, maybe.
Yeah, and what I don't like is I'm home, topping on the doorstep, I can get it. I was being informed that on tomorrow is National Croissant Day. Don't know why. Somebody must want to be selling me croissants.
Oh, well, I know that you can get them at Burger King.
Yeah, not the same.
Because when you want fine French dining, you want a croissant sandwich.
Now you skillfully sidestepped the question.
I'm good at that, aren't I?
Well, you know, after 7 years of me doing it to you, you should be. But the question is, what special thing we got going for my birthday show next week?
Next week, we have some special guests, and we will be talking about our favorite comics from the 80s. And because we're going to have special guests, and we've got a list of 10, it's going to be a two-parter. We haven't done a two-parter in quite a while.
Nope. Corey sits there with his stopwatch and he cuts him off right at the pass. You know, we're all ready to go into, you know, Turbo was all ready to go into the in-depth intricacies of the Star Wars, and then he just got cut off.
Well, and we used to have a co-host who said that two-parters were terrible and she hated them.
Ah, what did she know? She didn't even like clean apartments.
Well, no, she are we allowed to say that?
Who cares? She's not listening.
Oh, okay. So, next week we're going to be doing our favorite comics of the 80s. So if you've got any favorite comics of the 80s, go ahead, send them in. We'll add it to the list.
Cool.
And we'll try and figure out how to get Joe on the show.
Yeah. No, I'll be there. Because like I said, my wife won't be around on my birthday. So I'll be sitting alone. Rather going to Tim Hortons for donuts, I'll be sitting here doing a podcast with my friends.
Ooh, that's right. Friday, I get to go to Tim Hortons for donuts because that's when my vacation starts.
Ooh.
We left on a cliffhanger last week, by the way, Joe.
I don't know. I wasn't paying attention.
You never pay attention.
I made it here, didn't I?
Kinda.
Yeah.
So, remember, I was going to have a meeting at the group home to discuss the future of the organization. And remember I said that they were probably going to be moving the clients into smaller facilities, et cetera, et
cetera.
Probably
those FEMA homes that they had a bundle of on for sale down in New Orleans.
No. Licensing wouldn't allow that.
They
have announced that they are moving to smaller facilities and they are looking for places in the area. They gave us an inventory of things we would like and not like, such as, would you like to host clients in your home?
No.
I would not like. Would you work in a assisted living facility with clients. Yes. Would you work with clients who need more, who need the, you know, kind of the care that we give now? Yes.
Sure.
Would you drive more than 50 miles? No.
Only for comics. Pies and, well, redheads for me, brunettes for you.
Yeah. Not,
see,
not,
I'm learning. I'm learning.
Not for that job.
No.
What sort of hours would you like to work? Well, normally, I am scheduled for 10 hours every 2 weeks. I am working 40 to 70 hours every week.
Uh-huh. Mathematic and, problems.
And they say that this will start taking effect within 6 to 9 months. Hmm. So, having gone through things like this, I imagine staff will start leaving. And we're already shorthanded. By the way, Joe, they want us to come with them as they go on this new venture. And if we do stay with the company through this transition into the new facilities, we get a bonus.
Ooh.
Part-timers,
that bonus is already as good as spent, isn't it?
I am. It's a $500 bonus for part-timers, and I'm looking, well, what omnibuses are coming out in August, September, and October?
You're an omnibuy type of guy.
I am, aren't I?
Yeah.
It happened over the last 2 years, hasn't it?
It has, and you converted me. That's the other thing.
I know.
Earlier on, you know, I don't like them. They're too expensive, too heavy. Don't like them.
But they're
and then
so
I opened one.
Cool. You even have ones I don't have. You got the John Byrne Fantastic Four one. Two of them.
Yeah.
And the Alpha Flight
one. I must have got them both.
Any I person? Was.
Did you get Secret Wars 2?
No.
Yeah, I did.
I didn't read Secret Wars 2 when it came out. I read the first issue and went, this is shit.
Yes, but I'll find out if it reads better altogether. I did actually bring it to work, but that particular day I got into just listening to music. I started streaming music on my phone.
Oh, you know, you've learned how to do that. Finally, Grandpa. Well,
no, actually, I was using the YouTube channel, so I just kind of had the list of the ones that I listened to over and over.
You should get Spotify, and you can put them on a list.
That's what my daughter keeps telling me, so I'll work on that as soon as I get a new MP3 player.
One of the things that I do with my phone, I have the Shazam
app.
Whoa,
we don't want to know that. I told you that what you do with your own phones is between you and the NSA.
That's my tablet. On my phone, I have the Shazam app, which is an app where you tap it and it'll tell you what song's playing, and then you can add it to a Spotify list of your choice.
That would be helpful, because usually I'm swerving across lanes as I'm trying to write down a lyric so I can get home, so I can put it into Google and try to figure out what song was playing.
See, what I'm doing, ladies and gentlemen, is I'm helping you by helping Cray be safer on the road.
Yes.
See, Cray's one of those drivers. He doesn't get in accidents. Everyone behind him gets in accidents.
I drive a truck, so I can just say, fuck you on the road. Although I gotta say, there's one thing I'm scared of: bigger trucks and women in SUVs.
Oh,
sweet bejesus!
The smaller the woman in the SUV, the more dangerous they are, especially when you get near a mall.
Oh, I mean, I'm not a speeder. I tend to keep it between 5 and 500 over the speed limit. But man, when you know you're breaking the speed limit and they're on your tail, you're like, doesn't she realize all I see in my rearview mirror is the bumper plate and her license
and the knuckles?
Oh,
the knuckles on the steering wheel. By the way, we're probably going to get in a lot of trouble for being sexist pigs.
Oh well, yeah,
but no, not sexy sexist.
Oh, sorry, then I thought you were talking about the 16 nipple thing. Oh, God, I love Miss Piggy.
Now I'm gonna puke. Well, anything else you read and enjoyed and liked?
Well, let me ask you this. I just saw Valiant Comics got sold.
Yes, I saw that too.
Should I be reading them?
No.
I have a couple of friends at work that really enjoy it. They said it's a really fun universe. It's put together well, and they like the action in it.
The problem with it is you have to have been reading it from the beginning.
Well, that's why I think I might go to libraries, see if they have some graphic novels I might be able to jump on.
Because I've tried a few, And, you know, the company's only been around for a few years, and it's already referring back to, you know, stuff that happened 2 years ago and 3 years ago, and Exo Manowar's been rebooted twice, and they have ties to the old Valiant universe, but they're really vague, and they don't get into it. And I always wondered why they restarted the Valiant universe when I looked at the sales, because other than the first few issues, they've hovered down in the 10,000 to 15,000 issue range. And in doing the math, they can't be making a lot of money. But they're doing stuff like, oh, we made this video of this character for YouTube. And you look at it, and it's professionally made, and they put money into it and everything. And it's like, why are you doing that? Well, now we understand. And it's the thing that I've been suspecting and said here on the podcast, because I have no problem talking about things I suspect. I speculate constantly. And it was, okay, we've got all these licenses.
Seize.
No, licensees are the people who license things from you. We have all these licenses.
License.
And we want to sell it to some company. We want to make money off these characters.
Sellers.
And today they got bought by a company that makes movies, who's going, we need to get us some superhero movies. And there have been a lot of comics over the last 20 years that have just been put together to sell a movie. I'm looking at you, Cowboys and Aliens. Or what was the one that Rob Liefeld did, and before the first issue came out, he announced he'd sold the rights to Tom Cruise?
Oh, my Lord. I can't even remember that one.
And it was a really bad Fantastic Four knockoff. But there are so many books that have been put out for, we want to sell this to TV, or we want to sell it to a movie. And there are even, well, Radical Comics. Their whole thing was that they would take unproduced screenplays and turn them into comics so they could turn them into graphic novels. That's where the Dwayne Johnson version of Hercules came from.
Oh, yeah.
So,
although that company's not around anymore. It was taking the money and ran.
Well, they've kind of moved completely into movies because one of their editors was Bob Schreck. That's how they got the Frank Miller Holy Terror book. And Schreck was injured, and when he came back to work, they're like, oh, we don't publish comics anymore. How would you like that to be your thing? Oh, yeah, I'm out because of an injury. And when you get back to work, it's like, oh, we don't do that anymore. We're a different company now. Mm-hmm. There's some other stuff in the news. There's Joe, do you subscribe to the Atlantic magazine?
I don't. I've been meaning to, but, you know.
You know what magazine. It is, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the first magazines in the U.S. It's been around since the 1840s. And they do a lot of long-form investigative stuff, and they've kind of turned their eye toward comics. Because there is an artist over at DC who has become very well-known for harassing other creators and comic fans. And he has a YouTube channel that, boy, there's a whole lot of Russian bots that have subscribed to it. And he goes by the initials EVS. That's good enough, isn't it, Joe?
I don't know. I mean, the article's going to be out by the time the podcast drops.
Oh, no, it'll be a few weeks. It'll be a couple of weeks or a couple of months.
Oh, they're working on it.
Yes, there's a journalist out there who has said, if you have been harassed by this artist, if you have been targeted by him at conventions, if you have been targeted by him on Facebook or Twitter, please contact us. And there are a lot of African American and female creators that I follow online, and they are sitting down with this journalist to talk. And I have even had dealings with this artist in the past.
Ooh.
It was a long time ago, though. It was like 2009, 2010. And I was, you know, we were starting this podcast, and I was putting out comic book stuff, and he sent me a friend request. And I accepted it. And about a month or two later, he started, he and his friends, anytime I would post anything that was kind of remotely liberal, he and his friends would just dogpile on me. Especially if it was for a creator like Chris Cross or Jamal Igel or, you know, someone like that, someone who was not white, they would just, I mean, you know, Joe, you've opened up your Facebook and seen, oh, I have 15 notifications, I have 17 notifications. I would open up Facebook and there would be 100 notifications. And they would have just, you know, insulting and name-calling and all this, and then harassing private messages. And this was before, you know, I think most of us knew how to block people on Facebook. So when I would defriend him, he would send me these private messages. Oh, come on, buddy. We're just being pals. Can't we be friends? You know, we may disagree on things, but can't we be friends? Can't we be buddies? And I, you know, being stupid, which we established earlier in the podcast, didn't we, Joe?
I think the cleaning thing did it, but it's been
established earlier in the podcast that I'm stupid. I would go, okay, maybe it is just kind of locker room talk. Maybe it's just kind of, you know, and immediately it would start up again. Until finally it just blocked him, and anybody who was one of his friends who would, you know, send me a friend request, blocked them. And I hadn't thought anything of it till it started turning up that he was doing this at conventions. That if somebody gave him a bad review, he would, like, have him and his followers, they would just, you know, go after them. Or if it was a certain creator, they would all just kind of crowd the table and not let fans come up because they'd want to argue with them. Well, I guess it got pretty brutal about a year ago when he went after somebody and started saying, well, why don't you just kill yourself? And the person had depression and actually was checked into a hospital. And then, you know, the artist very publicly said that I was wrong, I'm sorry, we were just joking around, which is what every bully says when they get caught. I was just joking. We were just joking around, and I'll never, ever do it again. And, of course, he started doing it again. So now, mainstream media, not comic book news, because there is no such thing as comic book news. It's, hey, look, here's press releases. Oh, and here's a picture of Brie Larson dressed as Captain Marvel. And, boy, she doesn't look good. That's comic book news, supposedly. But no, the real news people are digging into this because of the Me Too movement and stuff like that. So I think I said about a year ago that comics better clean up their damn act. This is why.
The cleansing has begun.
Yes, it has. Well, we've already had an editor at DC finally had to be removed because of his harassment of women over the years. You're going to see more stuff like that. I really think you're going to see more stuff like that because now you can't keep it secret. And who knows? Maybe I know that conventions... Pretty much every big convention now has a sign about cosplay is not consent. You know, grabbing the cosplayers by the butt. And
kind of sad
like
you have to say remind people that.
I know. I don't get it. You know, we had cute cosplayers all the time. I never thought, hey, I'm going to go up and grab me some of that. I don't know. Maybe I'm not a jerk.
That could be.
Although I did ask if I could clean their house.
Yes, that is jerk enough. And the best part about it is they said yes, and you never talked to them again.
No, no one, no, none of the cosplayers ever said yes.
I'm positive there are a bunch of cosplayers that now come back to the cons because you don't go there.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
Positive. Absolutely positive. Well, I can't think of any other good reason why you don't go. But I'll be alone. So alone!
Except for your daughters.
True. And I imagine Pat. Dangerous Dan Moore will be there, pushing your book, Worldwide News.
And Pat.
I don't know if Pat's getting... I was talking with Pat about Comic-Cons a while back. And, of course, we shouldn't feel bad for him because while you and I were busting our butt trying to get through the day and the snowstorm and the podcast. He was actually down in Florida celebrating his birthday. So I believe he got out early before the stuff got really bad. So I wouldn't feel too guilty.
I'm going to be out of town the whole weekend of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but you didn't go to Florida.
No, I'm going to Twin Harbors. Two Harbors.
Yeah, you're going north.
Yeah.
So
where it's going to be 24 below.
I know, but you can have that hot tub nearby. And
a fireplace.
Take some good pictures, man. The lake's awesome when it's cold like that. If you can see it, you might get nothing but fog.
Yeah, that's true. But I'll probably head outside and look.
There.
Yeah, and
we sat in the hot tub, and the fog came off the lake, and it went two ways. During the day, it would waft into land, and at night, it would waft back. So it was like you're in a cloud bank just going back and forth.
I'd be dizzy. Good thing I have comic books.
Well, you know where all the comic shops are up there. We visited them all. You go back to, what was that one place that we dug for a couple hours? Global News.
I'm going to hit Global News. I'm going to hit the Rogue Robot. I've actually seen that there are a couple used bookstores I want to hit when I'm up there.
Yeah, that would be fun.
There was the one shop that's also a disco round that I want to hit because they seem to have the big boxes of Marvel cast-offs, and Marvel's been casting off a lot of stuff.
Even go to Electric Fetus if you want to go visit an old-fashioned head shop.
I've been to the Electric Fetus there because I've been there twice. And the first time I went, the person I went with was someone who would enjoy a head shop. So we were in the Electric Fetus for way too goddamn long.
Anybody want a little head?
Al Snow, not at the Royal Rumble last night, but when you watch it, there are a few people who pop up and some nostalgia pops. There's some nostalgia pops.
Cool. But Pat is going to be just like the other Pat that used to work at MCBA. He's saying, I don't know if I want to go to cons anymore. I said, yeah, but what it is you'll show up, you'll get in free, you'll walk around, say hi to everybody, maybe pick up a thing or two if you see it, and then leave.
Yeah, but if he picks up a thing or two, he'll have to sell it.
He won't have to, set up, tear down, do anything. So, just like Brian, just like Pat does, they just kind of, they wander in and out. They're no longer day-to-day operational guys at the con. I also know Gruber's blowing out a lot of it. Well, not blowing, but he sent a lot of his original art to some art places in order for them to auction them off.
Wow.
Talking like John Byrne and some other pieces. He was kind of giving me a lowdown before he took off for Florida. But I'll talk to him when he gets back. I think you'll see it on Comic Art Fan.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know that place.
And he said there's a shop or like an auction site affiliated with it. And for all I know, they're already done now, but it sounded like he's going to be doing this with some of his bigger pieces because he's paring down just like I've been doing, trying to get rid of the pieces he doesn't really care to keep anymore. Not that he's stopped buying, but sorry, my eyes just rolled out of my head.
and I just keep adding more omnibuses.
Yeah, but you need it. I mean, I've seen your home. Pretty soon your trailer home's going to disappear as the wood rots away and the ceiling caves in and the foundation's gone. It's just going to be omnibus.
Actually, I'm just going to build a house out of, those tiny houses that are so big.
Oh, yeah.
Joe, I have a question.
Sure.
You've seen the tiny house.
Oh, that's kind of a reoccurring fantasy to live in one.
Here's my question. What's the difference between that and a mobile home?
I think a mobile home is bigger and it is not as mobile. Whereas a tiny home, you can actually theoretically move around a lot more.
So a tiny home is a more mobile home.
Well, it's smaller.
But they're considered cool.
They're small. They are because there's the convenience of space. Because if you look inside them, you see where they – I mean, you have a living room. You have two rooms. You have a bathroom. You have a hallway. You have a kitchen. Well, in some of these, the bathroom may be just tucked into a small area.
The bathroom is in the kitchen.
It could be.
You can make pancakes while taking a shower.
It could be.
There you go.
So, I think it's mostly for people that just want to
sit away. You can eat your dinner while sitting on the toilet.
I don't know.
There you go. You're saving time.
I don't know which tiny houses you're looking at, but I suppose for you that would be a convenience. But then you got
think of the time and just put a TV in the freezer and you're set for life. Where are you going? Nowhere.
You're thinking too big. I mean, you just have a waterproof bed. Turn on the shower, cook up your pancakes, let her rip, and it just washes all away. Heck.
I had a coworker.
I think they call them prisons.
I had a coworker once who, this was back when I was in my 20s. I had a coworker once who had trouble getting to work on time. So one of the things they did, you know those timers that you could put on your lights that you plug into the wall and you plug in? He actually put a waffle iron at the foot of his bed on one of those timers, so that at 6 o'clock the waffle iron would start up, and he'd have a waffle on one side and an egg on the other, so that when he woke up at 6:30, breakfast was ready. Well, the first morning, he didn't realize how much he tossed and turned during the night, and how he kicks his blankets off.
Oh.
So the alarm that woke him up at 6:05. Was not his the nice little alarm clock that had the radio. Nope, it was the fire alarm because the blanket had started on fire at the foot of his bed. Oh, gosh.
That's why we can't have nice things.
No. That's why I'm not a big fan of the tiny home. I would imagine that I'd put my waffle iron somewhere and start a fire. Someone's calling me and I'm not answering it.
It's going to... You got that is a weird ring. You need to normalize your ringtone.
No, that's the ringtone from the TV show 24.
Actually, let me ask you this. Although you never call me, bastard.
Sorry. I don't call anybody.
Sorry.
I text.
Sorry, people. I said sorry. Rat bastard.
Uncle.
If I was to put you, hey, my uncle, unless it's a very special episode of WKRP, what would you want on my phone for your ringtone? So when I hear it ringing, I know who to ignore. I mean, I know it's you.
I need to comment on this.
Okay.
A guest run in. Okay.
Whatever you put on your ringtone, don't let it be the Steve Austin wrestling thing that wakes someone up.
Oh, that is awesome. Morning. That is the best song ever.
That's all I'm saying.
Jeez. Some people got no taste, I'm telling you.
You know what would be perfect, Joe?
What's that?
The theme to Twin Peaks.
Ooh, I'll have to find it. Let me write that down. Twin Peaks.
There you go.
Is it a Dolly Parton song?
Your really, Ryder?
Really, well, no, it's for Corey, not for me. I have no idea what for you. Speaking of which. I go to work with that. That's my alarm for work. Let me know. Good Lord, what's that? I said, that's me, letting you know I arrive with authority.
Steve Austin not in the Royal Rumble last night.
I kind of figured. His neck's going to keep him from doing that.
By the way, Steve Austin does have a record with the Royal Rumble, though. He's the only person who has won it 3 times.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, that's one of the videos they show for the Royal Rumble. It's, you know, here's the statistics. How many? 900 people have been in the Royal Rumble.
See, now that's my wife's ringtone. And if you happen to hear the Muppet Show, that's my daughter.
Yes, we learned that last week.
Yep.
You know who doesn't need a ringtone to when they call me?
Who's that?
These guys, our sponsors.
That's right, here at the Solitaire Rose Radio Network, we have ads, and our first sponsor is me. That's right, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. I have my first book out with Dangerous Dan Moore. It's the first 100 strips of our online web strip, Worldwide News, the story of the lowest-rated cable news network. And you could get yourself a copy with commentary, with all sorts of extras, with signatures and everything. Just email Dan over at lordshadowflame@gmail.com. Our top sponsor, who's been with us since day one, is DreamHost. DreamHost.com. You need yourself a website, and DreamHost.com is the number one web host in the whole known universe. Just head over to DreamHost.com, put in the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, get $20 off your first year. How can you beat that? Our other sponsor is Graze, G-R-A-Z-E.com. Healthy snacks for a healthy lifestyle. Just head over to Graze, put in the code CORYS3R5P. Your first and fifth box are free. You could get them weekly. You could get them bi-weekly. You could get them monthly. You just order a whole bunch of them. It's great stuff to keep you away from the vending machine at work. Now, if you would like to leave a comment for any of the podcasts that we do, we'd love those. Go ahead and email us at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com, or you can call 952-856-0519. Operators are standing by. Okay, it's just a place that we'll record your calls, but we'll play them on the air. We'll answer your questions. We love getting feedback. Tell us what you think. Ask a question. Suggest a topic. Be a guest. Send us your stuff. solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com. If you would like to advertise on any of the Solitaire Rose radio shows, you can. Just email us at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com, subject advertising. Thanks. And after we do the sponsors, I talk about what's coming up on the Solitaire Rose Radio Network, but I don't know. Hopefully after vacation I will have like four or five in the chamber. So we'll talk about that next week.
Corey wants to talk about it next week. Sorry, I wasn't listening. My wife came in and was upset I hung up on her.
It won't be next week.
Uh-oh. You care? You're not even going to be here for my birthday. I'm so alone. So alone.
What did you do that she needs to talk to you about?
I don't know, but she walked in the room and then went out and called me.
Because you know what I always say, Joe. The worst thing in the world anybody can ever say to you is, we need to talk.
I know.
That has never been anything good. No one says we need to talk, and then when you show up, they're like, by the way, what kind of pie do you like? Because I made you 10. No one ever says that. It's, we need to talk. You have done this terrible thing, and I need to kick you in the taint.
Or it's, you know what you did.
No, I don't. Because I've done a lot of things, and I don't remember. And I don't know what annoys you. I've had situations where, you know what you did. No, I really don't.
You really, really don't.
Let me remind people. I once had a friend who every time I bought her a birthday present, she got angry. Every first birthday present I got her was just a simple Amazon gift card. And she yelled at me for 20 minutes. Why did I ever buy her another present, Joe?
Because you're stupid?
There we go. We proved that earlier.
Is that going to be the theme of this store show?
I think that should be the theme for the rest of this podcast for the rest of my life. You've seen the show Heathers, right, Joe?
You know, I think I have.
Every so often, the dad would say something, and Winona Ryder would go, because you're an idiot, Dad. And he'd go, oh, yeah. I think I've reached that point where it's, why did I do that? Because you're stupid. Oh, yeah. Buy somebody a present, and then the next thing they say is,
screw you, Strode.
Just like Angel Medina. Screw you, Strode.
Yep. We need more of that.
You know where you could get better
Angel
presents?
Medina, not you.
You know where you could get good presents?
IHOP. I was just there earlier today.
I was going to say, by the way, do you have your reservations for White Castle on Valentine's Day?
It's been done.
Yeah, but have you done it?
No. No, I'm not doing that this year.
So what are you doing this year?
Well, I can't tell you because somebody's listening in the other room.
Well, you could tell the hundreds of listeners. We'll keep a secret.
I don't trust any of you.
You don't trust them, and yet you give them keys to my house.
Well, I trust them with that.
What's going on the eBay?
Lots. Matter of fact, let's look at the last couple things that I sold here. Corey, do you remember the Nightwing Annual number 2 from 2007?
Vaguely.
It's all about the relationship between Robin and Batgirl.
Yes, it's why they didn't get married.
And
after,
of course,
1 year later.
One of the big things that they talk about on the oversexed internets is how Batgirl and Robin get trapped very close into a box, and she utters the infamous line, "That better be your utility belt poking me, buddy."
I like that.
I sold one of them. Let's see. I sold 3 Doctor Who comics, a couple. I love them photo variants, and I had a bunch, you know.
Now, are these the modern Doctor Who comics or the Marvel Doctor Who comics?
No, these are the IDW ones. So I sold one that had the 11th Doctor and Amy Pond on it, the 10th Doctor and Martha, and one with just the beautiful Jenna Coleman on it.
Now, did you read the Marvel Doctor Who?
When it came out, I did.
I remember I read it long before I could watch the TV show.
Oh, I knew who it was. I had seen the TV show here.
We didn't have it in Peoria, Illinois, so I actually bought the comic, and that's how I got to know Doctor Who.
Oh, that's interesting. Was it when you finally saw the episode, was it confusing or not so much? Or
it wasn't confusing, but it's like, oh, wow, they didn't have any money at all, did they?
Or were you like, where's the penguin? I want to
see
the penguin.
Although the penguin would have been cool, but it was more, wow, they had no money.
You know how I tell you never throw away your freebies?
Yes.
I sold a copy of Archie's Weird Mysteries, an Ashcan Diamond Comics giveaway from 1999.
Oh.
So that was kind of cool. They're not expensive.
How much did it go for?
Well, only about $5.
No, that's still not bad.
It was free when it came out. Back then, the Archie comics were $1. A couple graphic novels, The Hills Have Eyes, the beginning graphic novel, which ties into the movie. A Clive Barker Hellraiser, Spring Slaughter, that was from the Epic line in 1994.
I remember all those Clive Barker comics. I'm amazed that they didn't last long, because at Schindler's, they sold like crazy. There was a time when you'd put Clive Barker's name on something, because remember the Hellraiser book was a square bound.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we would sell, you know, 30 to 40 of those when a new issue would come out. It was probably another thing where Schindler's was able to sell it because we had people who weren't comic fans coming in the shop, whereas comic fans would just go, I'm not paying $5.95 for that.
Yeah, well, you probably wish you would have, because it's kind of expensive now.
Yeah.
Corey, do you remember the Ultra 500 limited variant covers from Malibu?
I remember they did a lot of cover gimmicks, but I don't specifically remember the 500.
Oh, I'm sorry, I said that wrong. 5,000. But basically, it was the issue with the logo in chrome, and then they had in the bottom, Ultra Limited 5,000.
Only 5,000.
Only 5,000. And some of these are harder to find than the hologram ones, because everybody was after the hologram ones. I don't think a retailer could get the Ultra 500s. I don't know if they had to, if they were special things or giveaways or what they were. But some of them have gone up in price, some of them haven't. But if you can find them and they're in decent shape, you know, I sold mine on the eBays. Actually had a couple of them. A couple other interesting things that I sold: Tiny Titans number 50, which is the last issue of the Tiny Titans series. Of course, that was all done by, how do you say his name? Balthazar and Franco Arellini. I should get my daughter here. She might be able to speak Italian. And I sold a Marvel Tales number 11, but it was only a reading copy.
But even, that was when it was still double size, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, double size, and it had all the cool stuff on it. It had the Spidey Battles Daredevil with the eerie menace of the Ringmaster. Let's see, there was Human Torch.
You know, you don't hear a lot of stories about evil circuses anymore.
No, you don't. I mean,
probably because there aren't any circuses
anymore.
Yeah,
it would be like nobody. And of course, they had the wonderful Wasp warns all to beware the Bog Beast. Oh, these are outstanding books, and I love them. I read them, but you know, I have them now in the Essential Collections, so I just slowly get rid of all these reading copies. And if you want to see what other fun things I have, you know where to go. Crazy, K-R-A-Y-Z on eBay's. Follow it through Corey's website. Just go directly to it via the eBay's. And you can always, once you're there, link my store because that's where it shows up. I've been removing some stuff down. I've been repricing things and, of course, putting new stuff on. And who knows what will be next. Could it be this little picture, this little pinback of Jesus from South Park? Could be. Could be a number of rare Hot Wheels? Probably. Could be my beloved blinking mini neon Spider-Man light. It was made in Hong Kong. It's probably a bootleg. But it still works.
Why would you sell it if it's beloved?
I don't beloved everything. Something's got to be unbeloved.
But you said it was beloved.
Some things only exist in your memories.
Now we get to my favorite part of the show.
Oh, good.
No, not memories of fumbling around in the backseat of a VW Beetle.
Oh, I told you not to bring that up.
It's freaking a geeking, Joe. What are you freaking on?
Well, as you can tell by my whispering winds at the beginning of the show and my every so often I blank out, I've still got that freaking cold in my sinuses. I'm actually doing antibiotics on it because, you know, as I was blowing my nose and trying to get rid of that stuff that comes out with the consistency of silly putty and sticks to you like rubber cement, it was a little bloody. A little bit of an infection there. But it's just weird because every so often, it's like my nose is just closed and I can't breathe. And then it goes away. And at night, it's more annoying when you wake up at 2 in the morning and you just had a dream that you were being attacked by a gigantic pillow. But
pillows.
So that's kind of freaking me out. Like I said, we have people returning from the flu, and they're like my friend Corey here hacking up a storm. So
that's the one thing that I've read, that the after effects of this flu will last up to a month.
Ugh. Oh, and the cough's the worst. I mean, I've been lucky, knock on fake particle board, that I haven't actually got it in my throat. It's been in my head, but. But then again, when I was taking Sudafed, I ended up in the hospital, so what the hell do I know? But I tell you, I'm about ready to try it again. Just, God, I want it gone. Really, that's about it. Things aren't going too bad.
Let's see, for me, I'm kind of unhappy that I will not have Box Day before I head up north for 4 days. Because, boy, I'd sure like to have... You could go to the DCB service site and see what's coming, and ooh, there's some good stuff coming. But then again, I haven't had a lot of time for reading, so I'm going to start. Actually, tonight I'm going to start grabbing like 2-3 trade paperbacks and stuff and putting them in a bag to take up there, and I'm just going to relax. I've found a few restaurants I want to hit, a few used bookstores, but for the most part, it's been a pretty crazy 5-6 months, and I need to unwind. But I'm freaking that I won't be able to take Box Day up there, so maybe I'll just buy a copy of Previews at one of the shops.
And you know, you probably needed that Box Day, because if it snows while you're up there, you'll have that extra weight in the back of your car.
Help push. Oh, that too.
Yeah.
Next thing I'm freaking about is... for some reason, we are incredibly shorthanded at the full-time job as well as the part-time job.
But it's off-season.
That's what you would think. But it's been nuts with people. They've lost their medical card, or they've got this problem, or they're unhappy with their new benefits. Normally, on a regular, kind of a non-open enrollment day, I get about 30 calls. I had 72 calls today.
Yeesh.
Last week, I had over 50 every day last week. It's just been nuts. And people are angry. You know, they're just angry. Where there was one person today, and I try not to bring my work home, but I was so irritated by this person. They were like, I don't want this medical coverage, and I need to get rid of it. Okay, you can get rid of it if you have a qualified life event. Not my rule, it's the IRS's rule. Well, I picked up coverage elsewhere. Well, when did you get the new coverage? Because if you got new coverage within 30 days, I could do exactly what you want. Well, I qualified for it last March. Okay, when did it begin? Well, I did this change at my job back in October. When did your new coverage begin? Well, I qualified for it in March. Please answer the question and tell me when the new coverage began. She couldn't.
Yep.
Seven different times I asked, and it was always an answer to some other question. And I never understand when people do that. Joe, you've seen people do that, where you'll ask them a question, and they give you an answer that has nothing to do with the question you asked. It's happening more and more. And it'll be like, well, what would you like? You know, which of these four medical plans would you like? Well, I'm looking at the life insurance. And I think I want to have four times my salary for life insurance. What kind of medical coverage do you want? I think pizza would be nice for lunch.
You know, they just called a Hot Wheel Buns of Steel. I feel like getting some fast food.
There you go.
Yeah, I can do that.
The other thing that people are doing on phones now and in conversations now, and we used to have a co-host who did this, that really bugs the shit out of me. Joe, ask me a question.
Corey, whatever happened to Counter Earth?
Well, what happened with Counter Earth is that eventually it just kind of... They just, as the sentence goes on, they just kind of fade out and get quieter until you can't hear a goddamn thing they're saying.
Speak up, ma'am. We're not reenacting Police Academy.
I won't even get into the people with vocal fry who talk like this all the time.
Honey, I don't care how many years you've been smoking. Speak up.
Yeah, I need a vacation. I need a vacation. At the group home, four of the 10 clients were sick.
Ooh.
Quarantined in their room. The good thing was I've already had the flu, so I was the one who got to go in and clean them up and bring them their meals. And the goddamn Royal Rumble was 7 hours long.
Ooh, so I gotta put 7 hours aside tomorrow to watch it.
No, you don't need to watch the pre-show. And you don't need to pause it to go, oh, did Nia Jax get knocked out of the ring? Oh, she just went over the second rope. Okay, she's still in the match.
You don't have to do that. A website for this, so our non-pro wrestling listeners can go look at your beautiful writing missives.
PWinsider.com.
Yep.
And look now, there'll be a shit ton of ads, so you should become an elite member so that there aren't any ads and you can list all the audio. Because you can't listen to our show, you know, all the time. Although, if you go back through the archives, we do have like 400 or 500 hours. We're like 600 hours.
Yeah.
700 hours. Okay, you can listen to our show all the time.
Yes. And if not, plenty of other sideshows.
Well, that's true. But the last thing I am freaking on is that there is this thing out there called Comicsgate, which is trying to be like Gamergate. And, this is about... No, these people are definitely just... They don't like black people in comics. They don't like women in comics, not as characters and not as creators. To the point where they were talking about sales figures, and one of the marketing people at Marvel got involved in the conversation and started giving real numbers. And the person in charge, who has a YouTube channel and five thousands of Russian bots who follow it. Damn these Russians. Why don't they follow us? We need the exposure.
YouTube bots, yeah.
Yeah, I like Russia. They have cool hats.
And the women.
Joe, do you know how to make beet soup?
I know how to beat my soup, but I've never made it.
I've never heard of someone beating their soup.
Yeah, it's very messy.
Is that what you kids are calling it these days?
It's Saturday.
No, one of the salespeople at Marvel showed up and had real numbers, and they immediately blocked this person because it's a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Joe, pull me out of this tailspin and tell me what you're geeking on.
We have a station in the Twin Cities called WDGY. Now, WDGY used to be the station to listen to if you were into rock and roll. One of the esteemed premier pro wrestling interviewers, Mean Gene Okerlund, used to be a DJ on WDGY.
I have heard that. back before he was...
Yep, back before he was Machine.
That's how he got hired into being a wrestling announcer.
And it's back. It's on a station a few clicks down from one of the powerhouse stations. And every so often, you know, when I only have a 20-minute drive home, so I don't get in to a lot of, you know, satellite radios. It wouldn't even work for me, although, like you said, that Spotify might be kind of fun. But I don't mind. I'll flip channels until I listen to something, or I'll just toss in a CD and listen to a few songs. But I flipped on one on WDGY, and they played a song I hadn't heard since I saw high school. And it took me a while to remember who did the song, but it immediately brought back, you know, there's like a certain pain you have in high school when, like, you had broken up with a woman, well, back then girls, and you're watching her with somebody else at the school dance. And this was the Little River song, Lady. And they have that song on there, the lyrics in there where there you're there on the dance floor making me watch you somehow. And I was just, you know, in the middle of going, like, you know, 60 miles an hour in a 45 zone, I was just flashing back to high school. And it was just amazing how powerful this memory was, that it just hit me. And then the next song came on. I can't remember what it was, but it just brought me down even more. It was just another sad 70s depressing love song, the type of thing you don't want to listen to after you've broken up with a woman, especially not in high school. And of course, back then, that was the only thing you had to listen to was the radio, because we didn't, you know, we were too old for those antique 8-track tapes. And of course, CDs were way in your fancy future. If you're lucky, this was, you know, back when mixtapes were big. So I was just amazed at all these weird memories just popping up and how downer they were. And then Beatles' Penny Lane hit, and I was instantly happy. And it was like, wow, it's amazing just how powerful the music can be, especially when you haven't heard it for ages. You know, it just brings back these memories. And I kind of appreciated it, although I appreciated listening to that puppy Beatles song, which itself is interesting because that song is talking about things that Paul McCartney and John Lennon and George and Ringo experienced as kids in England. So it's really, really kind of unique there. So I'll probably...
Here I get those feelings when I hear the song "Turning Japanese" by the Vapors.
Me, I go watch Kirsten Dunst's version of it. You won't be feeling that anyway.
Oh, I know.
Anyways, I was talking about stuff I read, and it's coming down into three categories: things I've read, and I'm rereading; things that I read first but totally forgot; and brand new things. So for the first one, a ways back, from our good buddy down, Steve Brown, the man about town, a man of renown who owns Cedar Cliff Collectibles, I picked up Peter David's Incredible Hulk Visionaries, Volume 1 and 2. And it's not the complete run, and I don't know if there's a third version. I'm going to have to go online and check it out. But these were the original run. Peter David talks about the story in the beginning where he says, yeah, nobody cared about the Hulk. It was on the verge of being canceled, so I started writing things and I changed things around. People think, oh, so visionary, but it was not really. I was just writing stories I thought I liked. And they're fun to read. Also, he dragged along some new punk. What was his name? Todd
Mickey.
Furley?
Todd Mickey something.
Never last.
He was really good on Infinity Inc.
Yes.
I liked him on that.
Yeah, he started losing it on the Hulk there. I wonder whatever happened to that guy. We should look him up. He'll join us in a podcast.
Maybe. It's not like he's doing anything else.
Yeah, he's definitely not around. Anyways, it was a lot of fun. Good run, too, when he runs into Hulk. I mean, that was kind of the big one that got everybody paying attention to Incredible Hulk. Because, you know, it was a Wolverine-Hulk fight, and it was only the second time they'd ever clashed. So... But these were fun books, and if you've never read them, you owe yourself a chance to go out and pick them up. Might be on Marvel Unlimited. I really don't know, because I read them in book form. And as you guessed, Corey won a nickel by knowing who the Qantas was and where he was from. And of course, that means I must have pulled my Showcase Presents Ambush Bug. There was only one volume out and read
it. The greatest Showcase printed.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, on page 161, you have the Ambush Bug Guide to Collecting Comics. And I'll just read. I mean, I don't know if it's copyrighted because I don't know if anybody cares, but I'll just read the first rule. Rule number one, after you've read your comics, don't throw them away. Very, very important. And I think I'm going to keep this page up, and we'll make that a semi-feature on the show, to just slowly go through the rules, Ambush Bug's Guide to Collecting Comics.
I like that idea.
Yep. So, and I'll jump ahead to number three. Count your staples. If there's only one, you've got a problem. Three is weird, but okay. Four or more, seek professional advice. And there, that's Ambush Guide to Comics. Another series I read took forever to come out. And I think the reason I barely remember it is because it took forever to come out. The 12, A Thrilling Novel of Tomorrow by J. Michael Straczynski and Chris Weston. I just spent a little bit of time because I've made this comment before. This is actually a very, very good graphic novel. If you have never read it, go pick up a copy. Again, check Marvel Unlimited. Not sure if it's there. But they take actual legitimate characters that appeared in the Golden Age. Probably only once, maybe at most I counted appearances maybe up to five times. These characters all disappeared and ended up in the Marvel Universe shortly after the Civil War. And it's a man out of time and woman as the world grown beyond their old-fashioned heroism. And it was just a fascinating tale, just read as one. And the book I had collects the 12, 1 through 12, and, of course, the one-shot they have, Spearhead number 1, which is kind of a prequel. And it appears afterwards, which actually works out pretty well. But I'm fascinated by the fact that these are characters that actually did appear in the Golden Age. And I'm amazed that none of them have been picked up or used anywhere since, not even in a cameo. They did say there have been certain characters that appeared in, like, Marvel's type thing where they were in the background. But for the most part, these are characters that were just plucked out of obscurity and just, you know, the creators had fun with them, and the book was just amazing. Like I said, this is the first time to my recollection that I sat down and actually read it, because there was a gap of, what, 4 years or something?
Yes.
Because they had stopped, and I forget what it was. Quesada said it was because Straczynski was busy doing screenplays, although there was a thing about, well, he finally got the art finished, and so you make you wonder if it was the art, if it was maybe a combination of the two. But altogether, it was just fantastic. Now to the things I've never read and the first time reading it. Corey, can you believe I've never read Marvel 1602?
No.
Neil Gaiman.
That's Neil Gaiman.
Andy Kubert, Richard. I can't say his name. Isavoni. I'm saying it like an Italian. Eight-issue series came out. It was very thin when it first came out. And, of course, it has one of those things where they take classic Marvel icons, such as X-Men, Spider-Man, Fantastic Four, Daredevil, and they bring them back to 17th century science and sorcery. And so it's fun to read because, first of all, Neil Gaiman, another guy who could write the phone book, and I would probably Andy Kubert, who could illustrate the phone book, and you're trying to discover who's who. And there were certain people I thought, oh, for sure, that's got to be this character. And then you find out it isn't. You find out, well, you know, it actually does tie in a bit to modern Marvel. So if you've never read it, it's definitely worth picking up. And I just had a blast between this and the 12. I mean, a couple graphic novels that I just I'm getting to the point where I think I'm enjoying graphic novels more than individual comics because I have the whole story in front of me. The next book is so damn good that I bought it twice based just on the description from preview catalogs. I didn't realize I bought it twice. I got it in my last box day, and then as I was going downstairs, digging through my current graphic novels, I discovered I had a second copy on the shelf. It's Tricked by Alex Robinson, and this is under the Top Shelf Productions. Tricked follows the lives of six people, a reclusive rock legend, a heartbroken waitress, a counterfeiter, an obsessive crank, a lost daughter, and a backstabbing lover. Their lives are unconnected until an act of violence brings them spiraling on in each other. Outstanding slice of life graphic novel. Alex draws these characters so well, I don't have to go back and figure out, who the hell am I reading about? The story gets so compelling about halfway through it. I was being drawn in it so much that people had to like tap me on the shoulder and go, Joe, you got a bag sitting on a belt. Pull it off the shelf. You know, what I do is I read the graphic novels while I'm waiting for, you know, luggage to come down the belt that we have to inspect. And I was so drawn into this book. I don't even think it'd be a movie. A Netflix series. You hear me, Netflix? Doing this would just be fascinating. And, you know, a lot of times I buy things, you know, from Top Shelf and Graphic, Drawn and Quarterly, just based on the description. If I'm lucky enough, I get exposed to it via New Comic Book Day. But this one was just purely off the description given in the previews and the fact that I pulled off the shelf. Well, I got to liberate it from one of my daughters. You know, it's just one of those books. When I see his name, I will probably pick up. And if you haven't tried it, definitely pick up a copy. Or if you're interested, give me a call. I'll figure out a way to get you my second copy that I – and, you know, the weird thing is they're both first printings. They're just from different publishers, because I think this one came from Top Shelf. They're now, what, an imprint of IDW?
Yes.
First one I must have got just as from Top Shelf itself. So different covers, but they're both labeled as first prints, so that was kind of cool. Other than that, that's pretty much it. Have not watched a lot of TV, have not watched gone to any movies. I've just been reading, and I probably won't have a lot to read next week because with Super Bowl, I expect I'll be a lot more busy at the airport. Of course, we got a special episode, my birthday episode coming up, so that'll be a lot of fun. Corey, what are you geeking on?
I'm astounding
with it. I'm going to call it my birthday episode.
I am going to correct the record, by the way.
I hate corrected records. You know, you get those skips and a pop and the sizzle. Ugh.
I know at least last year, and I think the last 3 years, we have recorded on my birthday.
I don't care about you. I want to know about my birthday.
The second thing, when I was a kid, I liked collections of short stories.
1974!
And when we went to the Dream Haven and went into their back room, I grabbed two or three of those Alfred Hitchcock short story collections. And they were basically, you know, supposedly introduced by Alfred Hitchcock. They weren't. And it was just, you know, short little, like, thriller mystery type short stories. Saturday, I had some time, so I sat down and started reading one of them. And all of a sudden, I was right back to where I was when Joe was talking about the music. For me, it was the stories. These weren't stories I'd read before, but it was like, oh, cool. But now as somebody older, I appreciate them differently. I like how the stories are put together. A lot of them are very puzzle-based, where something has happened, and you as the reader are trying to figure out, you know, what happened. And it was just fun. You don't go to bookstores and see collections of short stories anymore. You pretty much have to buy old ones. And one of the things I've been doing when we hit used bookstores is grabbing like two or three and putting them in a bag. Well, now I have a whole bunch of them, and I like reading short stories. I think it's a writing form that's going away. But I have a whole bunch. And I started reading the Captain America Omnibus, the Mark Waid Captain America Omnibus. And the stories are just as good as I remember. And reading that while Mark Waid is doing a new story in Captain America is very interesting. Not just because the art style is so different, but because Waid's writing style is completely different. The type of story is still the same. But reading the old ones, it's like, oh my God, was he paid by the word? you know, it's a very 90s comic where there are tons of prose in there, whereas when you read the new ones, he lets the art tell more of the story. And the art is more cinematic. The storytelling is so much better than it was in the 90s, just by comparing the same writer on the same character. The new Captain America, even though it's Chris Samnee, who's not a hot artist like Ron Garney was, man, the storytelling is so much better. The art is so much more visual. And it really makes me appreciate the new stuff a lot more. I bought a whole bunch of kids' comics from Joe before The Purge, and I had some time to read those. I was reading that Richie Rich comic. I've been reading some 70s Archie comics. And the Harvey stuff very much was aimed at little kids, and the Archie stuff was kind of the next step up. But it is fun to read the older kids' stuff that hasn't been enshrined like the Disney Duck stuff or the stuff by Little Lulu and things like that. These are just the stuff that kids would pick up for a quarter and read until it fell apart. And there's some joy to that. And it's kind of sad that there's no need for that in society anymore. But the good thing is that I can still pick them up and read through them and get that nice little nostalgia glow. And the last thing I am geeking on is the Royal Rumble. The fact that I had to cover it made it a lot of work. But it was the best wrestling pay-per-view in a long, long time. The men's Rumble match was a lot of fun. When it got down to the last four, it was really exciting. And I did not know who was going to win. Because normally when you watch the Rumble, you really know who's going to win. They really kind of telegraph it. And the Women's Rumble, even though I knew who was going to win, it was still fun watching that journey. And they had a lot of nostalgia pops, a lot of female wrestlers who we haven't seen in a while, and some really good action in the ring. I think that the Women's Rumble was better than the Men's Rumble, not just for the nostalgia pop, but for the actual in-ring work. And then you got a block. Brock Lesnar match, which was, you know, all plunder and destruction and German suplexes. And I like that, because I like violence for the sake of violence. Violence for the sake of violence. Well, believe it or not, kids, you've listened to us blather on about funny books when we had absolutely
no topic
whatsoever.
We had nothing planned.
Yep, we had nothing planned, but we still got an hour and a half of talking about funny books.
And I imagine someone will time it. No, they only talked for 45 minutes about funny books. The rest was nothing but filler.
There is no filler. Not a minute of this is filler.
My desires are unconventional.
Believe it or not, you've listened to us blather on for an hour and a half. And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Joe! I have some sad news for you. Sad news,
sad
ladies
news.
And gentlemen. The Uptown Minneapolis Arby's has closed. I feel terrible because I haven't eaten there in the 30 years I've lived here.
It makes me wonder about Kylo Ren, if he's ever had a girlfriend. Nah, he's probably always been solo. Hit my music.
Bye. done, bitches.